Welcome, community group leaders, to the Deeper Podcast, where we help you confidently lead your community groups. My name is Jeremy Wynn. I'm the host of the Deeper Podcast, and we are joined again this week by our lead pastor, Joe
Hispa. Hey, welcome, everyone. It's so good to have you on this podcast, and thanks for connecting with us. We really hope you're encouraged by this and inspired and equipped for your time together in your community groups.
Well, in today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deeper dive in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. We're going to be looking at specifically how Christ followers are quick to confess and slow to cover. So we're going to get to that in a second, but before we do, we're going to go to our growing together section. And so this is a time each week where we want to help continue to give you some tips or some tools to help lead your groups, or even be able to share stories of what God is doing in different groups. And so please continue to send us emails. You can send emails to Warren Wilson, wwilson@fbctopeka.com, and give us questions and things that you'd like included in this section. But I'm going to repeat what we talked about last week. So last week we talked about go to the community life page to get what you need, whether it be documents or also the podcast is going to be posted there every week. So you don't even necessarily have to look for an email from Warren or anything. It'll be automatically uploaded there. So
what's that address?
Yeah, so it's fbctopeka.com/community. And we're going to continue to keep that updated as we go through the semester and even beyond. So that is your place to go to stay in the loop. And again, send us feedback. If it's not helpful for you, let us know that and let us know how we can make that even more helpful for you. All right, so that was our growing together section for this week. So now we're going to dive into the passage, and we are in week two, not only of the Deeper Podcast, but also of the series Safe and Sound. Got that right this week. And so we're going to actually use the REAP method and just dive a little deeper into the passage. So the first part of that is reading the passage. Joe, would you open us up?
All right. So I'm going to read 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. It says this: "This is the message that we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us."
All right, so the big idea for this week is Christ followers are quick to confess and slow to cover. And I love how you take this passage and you put it into just a really clear and concise statement that's very just tangible and applicable that we can take. My question for you, though, is so how did you get to that big idea? So there's a lot of, you know, light and darkness analogy,
yeah,
and the word cover isn't necessarily in there, but that concept is in there.
Yeah.
And this, so, it definitely fits there. So just take us through how you got to that.
Thank you. The overarching words in this is light and darkness, because he starts out and says, this is who God is, right? God is light. And when you think about God being in light, there's no place about God. There's nothing in any of his existence that's in the dark, that he doesn't know about. I mean, we could go into his characteristics of being all-knowing, all-present. You know, there's never a place where God is that stays in the darkness. And so that whole picture is big. And so the second thing that we're invited to is to live in the light, right? And so we're called not to live in darkness. And it's summarized in three statements that the clues are that where it says, if we say. So he's reconstructing what the false teachers were trying to teach the churches in 1 John. And he was saying, if you say that, really. And he was being kinder because he said, if we say. So it's like he has a teaching moment. And again, most likely John was in Ephesus and he stood up before the church and preached this message. It was written down and sent to all those churches, but it's really trying to deal with this. But he says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, if we claim we have no sin, if we live in fellowship and walk in darkness. So you have these two areas, one where we're kind of resisting the light and one where we're really welcoming the light. And so that's where I got it. So, and then it's this picture of confess, live in the light. God's going to always show you imperfection when you're walking in the light. So what do you do when you have imperfection? Confess. As quickly as you see it, confess it. Because you get that delay. You cover, you lie, you deceive yourself, you make God to be a liar. And so that's how I came up with it.
Great. I like it. And it's going to lead in some really good application here in a second. Mm-hmm. But another question as we examine this. So again, the word light. So again, the podcast, this is meant to go deeper and not just regurgitate what Joe shares in his message. So you do a good job of laying out not only the whole passage, but talking about light. But could you go just a little bit deeper, even not only so how 1 John uses light here, he also uses it in John,
yes.
But also we see this in Genesis as well.
Yeah, so he's making a clearer connection with Genesis in the Apostle John when he writes in the beginning, because both Genesis and John start out with in the beginning. But I think it's fascinating that light throughout the scriptures is a picture of truth. It's the picture of the presence of God. It's the picture of walking in the way of God and in His Word. And even the Word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. I mean, you get that picture. But here's what I didn't share this a lot in my message, but I just kind of stood when I read Genesis 1:3. You get the first word that God says. His first quote in the scriptures is, "Let there be light." And if you read in Genesis 2, I always memorize Genesis 1:1, and click, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But it says, the earth was without form, and it was darkness, right? Darkness. And God spoke into that darkness, and something came out of nothing because of His Word. His Word brought in light. Let there be light. And nothing obeyed it. And what I'm saying is nothing, that darkness obeyed it and became light. So that's pretty awesome. Is from the beginning, God is a God who says, "I'm in the light. You with me?" And throughout eternity, there will be no more night in eternity. So why? Because the light of God will shine. And there's never going to be anything in the dark again throughout creation or throughout eternity. And most of our existence, now I'm 55, and how old are you, Jeremy?
I'm 30.
Okay, and how old are you? Okay, we won't do that. But I mean, no matter what our age is here on earth, it's going to be so infinitely smaller compared to the amount of time we have in the light. And so think about most of your existence is going, if you know Jesus, put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're going to be in the light for eternity. Why would you ever compromise that now? Let eternity begin now and live in the light.
Excellent. Excellent. And I love how just the analogies that we see throughout Scripture, they're transcended across time. I mean, light, it's something that's so relevant to us today, just like it was then, something we all get. So
yeah,
love it. Okay, so one of the things we want to do as we finish this examine piece is look at, is there anything in here that could maybe be a question that's brought up or even a distraction that could distract from the main focus we're trying to get to? And in verse 10, it says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Could you just explain that a little bit, and specifically when it says we make Him a liar? Because we know God is not a liar. How does that make sense?
No, so it would be blasphemous to call God a liar. Like, you're not a God of your word. It would be totally in the dark to do that. And so we don't make God a liar. What John was trying to do is he's trying to flip that argument and going, who's the liar here? And if you look to the three, if we say we have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, what we lie and we do not practice the truth. So it's us, we who are in the darkness. And then secondly, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay, so that's the big picture, is ultimately that you get that picture of, and I didn't use, I'm planning on using this in the sermon. So just that whole picture of the wise, the foolish, and the evil. Well, the wise person sees the light of the truth and changes to reflect the truth. the foolish person, they try to change the truth so they don't have to change. And then the evil person, they just are all out assault on the truth. They try to destroy the truth. And I think that progression is happening. Got the wise person who's walking in the light as he's in the light, and the blood of Jesus is covering them. Okay, you've got the foolish person who's saying, I have fellowship. You're one of mine, but I'm living however I want to. I'm living life on my own terms. Who cares about God and his word? And they go, that's foolish. You're trying to change what God has said to us. You're deceived. You're lying. And then the evil person is going to try to make God the liar so they can destroy everything that God says. And that's kind of the epitome. Each of these accelerate into a greater picture of evil. That's what they're talking about there.
Wow, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
So now let's move to application. So how do we apply this? So I'm going to start with a question for you and then a question for how can us as community group leaders in our community groups apply it. So first question for you. So as you have spent time studying and meditating over this passage, is there something that the Holy Spirit has convicted you on that you want to apply into your life because of this passage?
Yeah, I find that if I don't take intentional time to confess my sins to the Lord, they go unchecked, and I don't put myself under the covering of Christ. And so when I don't confess my sins, and I know there's a group of Christians out there who say, and it's kind of just crazy, they just say, we don't need to confess our sins. Why? Because Jesus has already saved us from our sins. He's saved us from our past, our present, and our future sins. So we just don't. No, it affects our fellowship. In the same way, if I lied to you, or I cheated you, or I talked about you behind your back, it would hurt you. I can't just go, oh, Jesus got that covered, Jeremy, get over it. No, I've offended him. I've offended God, and I would offend you if I sinned against you. So it just restores the fellowship. And so I need to do that because the common human tendency is just to cover it and to hide behind it. And if you're a Christ follower, you might be tempted to let your good deeds, your good accomplishments, the good parts about you be things that you are focused on and you ignore the bad things about you because there's so much guilt and shame in there. But what the scriptures call us to is whenever there is confession, there is forgiveness. There is not a millisecond between a confession where the forgiveness of Jesus isn't on you. And that's a big lie of the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren comes into your life, Satan, and he says, you're bad. You did this wrong, Jeremy. You're a bad person. How could God love you? You're on the outside of his house right now, okay? You better be a good person. You better make him proud of you again. And that totally ignores the covering that's yours in Christ. So that's something that's very real. And a hectic and a busy and a hurried life will keep you from confessing. Feelings of guilt and shame will build up a resistance. Past experiences of rejection in your own life, if you've been rejected by someone you've hurt or someone rejected you, will keep you from confessing because you just don't want to deal with the reality of who you are. And yet God says, no, I love you. I see everything about you and I choose to love you anyway.
That's great, and I think that's true. So for all of us, so each one of us, one application is, man, how are we confessing daily with our Heavenly Father and allowing Him to speak into our life? And then the second question is, so as we're in our community groups, mm-hmm. one, there's one of our discipleship rhythms is freedom from strongholds, and that just fits really nicely with what this is talking about because, you know, Satan wants to keep things in the darkness and have us not share with other people and have other people help encourage us and sharpen us and speak truth and love and grace in the midst of those. So as we think about that discipleship rhythm of freedom from strongholds, what would you encourage community groups to do as they're meeting with their groups this week? And it might even be virtual, which yeah. can be difficult too. How do they, what's a step of application to live this out in their groups?
Yeah. So I just, as we address the virtual thing, I've cried on a Zoom call already, so it can be done. It can be done. How about that? I think what happens is you want to target a place with people to where you're modeling the book of James, confess your sins one to another that you might be healed. and the prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much. Okay, so I've found that those environments don't just happen. If you're a community group leader, you have to lead them. You have to become vulnerable yourself, where you go, I need, as I looked over what's a stronghold in my life that's been a pattern of either a lack of trust or a tendency to walk in darkness. And it is this, specifically what it is. It's a daunting thing. But then the body of Christ is supposed to go as you've confessed that. You don't just confess, yeah, this is me, but I see it as wrong. I see the destruction it's doing. I get it. And I turn from it to trust and follow Christ. Then the body of Christ is to model Jesus and to gather around and support you and love you through that and help you turn from that sin to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. So that's something that just, it's part of doing community together that is part of following Jesus that deepens you, not just where our group's going to go from this, but what when you can say it to other believers, the power of that sin is broken, and Jesus can shine in it and live in it, move in it. So,
excellent. And leaders, we are going to be in prayer for you this week as you lead with vulnerability and help shepherd some of these conversations of how to confess, be quick to confess, and slow to cover. Yeah. Joe, would you pray for community group leaders at this time?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being in the light. And we want to walk in the light. We want to see what is true and right and good. And whatever we're in now, whatever darkness we're in now, whatever sin is revealed to us, Lord, help us not to stay there. Help us not to stay in shame and guilt. Help us to move to that forgiveness in Christ. So, Lord, before we even go into community group this time this week, may we be people who are just confessing to you and finding your forgiveness. And having our sins cleansed and our lives cleansed from all unrighteousness. Jesus, thank you so much for that. We all need it. And so as we are people who are finding our covering in Christ, may we be people then who lead that covering in Christ. And may people in our group, through the Holy Spirit and your word, be transformed to walk in the light as you are in the light. Lord, move us beyond our insecurities. Move us beyond covering or whatever thing we're trying to protect so that we can walk in the light with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, before we close, we're going to have a quick time of looking ahead. And Joe, I've got a gift for you.
Oh, wow.
And the gift is this. This is going to be in preparation for our deeper experience.
Yes. Is this what I think it is? Yes.
So,
okay.
So for those that don't know, we're going to be having the deeper experience over the Book of 1 John, February 25th from 6:30 to 9:30. And I don't know about you, Joe, but with this time of COVID, there's so much that changes and you don't know if you can plan for something. Having something tangible, it's like, man, we're making progress.
You guys got to hear this story. When I was in Israel, I walked through a kind of reconstruction of a synagogue in Nazareth that it wasn't the exact synagogue, okay, but it was a reconstruction of it. And they showed us how the word was taught in the synagogue. And it was put in a scroll, and then someone would read it, and they would all listen to it, and they would go line by line through it. And so when the book of 1 John, it wasn't a book. It was something about the size of this. And I was sharing with Jeremy. I said, wouldn't it be cool if we give the whole book of 1 John into something the size of what it might have looked like when the churches first received it? And we'll use that as our text for our deeper study. And you got it done, man.
We got it done.
I am so
We're making
excited
progress.
About this. Come, and you will get your free copy of 1 John.
That's right. Just so I think you gave a good description, but any other things you'd explain to community groups of what they can expect for that evening?
So how many times can you go one place to an extended teaching time and get the whole letter of 1 John? That's what we're going to do. And so I think especially as you're growing in the word, it's going to be good to sit down with other brothers and sisters in Christ, lean into God's word, and from beginning to end, we'll be like that first church that heard 1 John when they got it, and we'll leave there with the whole picture of it. And so I'm really excited about it. I hope you can make it, whether you're in person or online, for this great event.
Yeah, so registration will open up this next week, and we'll be looking for Warren's email as well. He'll make sure there's links for that. So we'll have up to 100 people that can come in person, and you'll get the scroll, and you'll be live. And then we'll also have online options as well.
Oh, and I would just say this. Pray, because if county officials increase our numbers, then we can have more people in person. But no promises yet, right?
We will see. All right. Well, yeah. With that, thank you for listening to the Deeper Podcast. We hope this episode has been helpful for you as you lead your groups confidently. This week, we are praying for you as you shepherd your groups. God bless.
God bless.